This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. I want you to imagine the person closest to you, partner, child, whatever, that person comes home and says, "Hi, it's me, so-and-so," but they don't look like themselves. How freaky for you, how freaky for them. What's it going to take for you to understand this? This is something that happens to our cats every day. It is a hot point with Rita and I. And we are so happy to say that we have got our dear friend, Dr. Rachel Geller, back with us. And she has brought Michael Herbert, who is just a guy who had this happen to his cats. And he is on a mission to help. You do not want to miss this. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall. Here, as always, with my gorgeous blonde BFF, Rita Reimers.
Yeah, we get a call about this at least once a week. And Dr. Geller also, this is a hot topic for her as well. And I think one that we really need to bring to the forefront. Our veterinarians really need to get involved in this too, because they really don't do anything to help the situation. Linda, 100%. Do you want to take us to our guest?
So, Michael, so I set up this scenario, right? Your BFF, partner, child, whatever, shows up and they are not, you know, your blonde friend is now brunette and
like the
blue eyes are brown. And
think about
yes,
that.
Yes, like the movie Face Off. And honey, soap operas do it all the time. People are constantly dying and coming back as new actors. So explain to us how, I said this happens with our cats. We know this is called feline non-recognition aggression. Explain to us what that means and what you experienced.
Yeah, so we had a situation where one cat went to the vet. We have two cats. They're brothers. They're litter mates. They're, you know, of the highest social order of cats in the sense that they are affiliative. They allogroom. They, you know, are very affectionate towards one another. And we came home from the vet. This was 6 days after Thanksgiving. And one of the cats was drooling a lot. So we took just that cat to the vet. They'd always been together. And when we came home, we opened the cat carrier on the living room floor, and we were instantly transported to Africa, where two male leopards were fighting with each other. Yes. And we had no idea what was happening. And so it turns out that as I've learned over the last 3 months, that cats don't recognize each other by vision. They recognize each other by scent. And we'll get into some of the details of that. But I do want to tell you the entire story here, because it is crazy what can happen if this happens in your household. And my mission is that this shouldn't happen in anyone's household. And it's really easy to avoid it. And so why aren't vets giving a simple instruction that will avoid this? And we'll talk about what that instruction should be. But so after the cat came home and we had these couple of really major fights, we started looking into what this was. And we had no idea. It's called feline non-recognition aggression. It is really clear from its name what it is. The cat doesn't recognize the other cat, just like your best friend is no longer recognizable. And this happens because the cat that went to the vet, whose name is, well, his original name was Bugatti, but he became very mellow. So now we call him Buddha instead of Bugatti.
That's a good answer.
So Buddha went to the vet and came home and was attacked by his brother, Cortado. Cortado is the name of a coffee drink, and we love coffee in this house. So that's how the cats got their name. So we don't have very many doors in our house on the main level. In fact, our bedroom, which has lever doors, is the only door that locks except for a bathroom or a pantry. And so we had to basically zip tie those doors because both cats know how to open the doors. In one of the arches to one of the rooms, the entryway, you know, no door but an arch, I had to build a barrier. And unfortunately, the first version one of the barrier was not strong enough. Cortado broke into the room once. And then a second time when we had him in the room, he broke out to attack his brother again. So I have clumps of hair at home from these. And so basically, we finally took, after consulting with various people, an anticruelty.org in Chicago. We found somebody there. She was very helpful. And by the way, they have already adopted changes to their adoption packets and to their vet experiences based on the situation of Buddha and Cortado.
Fantastic.
And so basically, first we tried Zyclean and fell away. That was not going to work. We eventually had to go to a behavioral vet who put first Cortado on Prozac, but we realized that Buddha has fright issues also, so they're both on Prozac. Unfortunately, it wasn't the either the gel kind or the kind you put in their ears. I wish we would have gotten that, but they're on such a low dose now that we haven't worried about switching it out. And they have gone completely back now to being affiliative, loving brothers. They're Bengals, so they do play hard still, but it's not like they're trying to kill each other. And guess how long it took? 4 months and 22 days.
I'm not surprised, really.
Writing that.
And the bad thing here is for some people, the cats never make up. We have a friend whose sister had this happen, and their cats never made up. They were both constantly stressed, and then one of the cats ended up passing away.
Aww.
Before they could get them back together again. So it is, you know, a really, really serious situation, and it's actually pretty simple to avoid. When a cat goes back from a vet in a multi-cat household, there should always be an instruction, separate the cats and slowly evaluate how they're going to do without letting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 19 cats all together. You know, that qualifies for general population.
I actually really do have 19 cats.
I have 12. I'm a lightweight.
You just can't, under the concept of do no harm, which every medical ethical standard, whether it be veterinarians or doctors, you know, they all have it. It's really simple. It doesn't take anything to do that. And once you do that, you avoid a lot of problems. So a cat has 200 million scent receptors in its nasal cavity. A human has 5 million. So
big difference. Big
imagine
difference.
That.
They can smell things we've never dreamed of.
Right.
And we don't want to smell.
If you could go to a Michelin star restaurant and smell like a cat can smell, imagine what a different experience that would be. Right.
I don't think I would enjoy that very much.
Yes. And it was sensory overload.
Yes, that's the secret to, you know. No, this supplement doesn't have a scent to it. I'll add it to my cat's food. And the cat goes, I beg to differ, darling.
It definitely smells differently.
So, yes. So, and in our experience working with behavior clients who have had this happen, it really is a start over and introduce them as if they've never met thing. Is that how you deal with it, Dr. Rachel?
Yes. I advise my clients to pretend they've never seen each other. They've never met each other. And when I start telling clients about scent swapping, they'll say, why should I do that? They already have spelled each other in the past, but We wanted to take everything down to ground zero. We want to start with a clean slate and do really a complete reintroduction, like Linda said, exactly as if the cats have never met before. And so we want to start off with that scent swapping. And one thing about doing the scent swapping, and I always tell people to use a sock and gather those, you know, facial pheromones, rub the cat body, and then put that sock in a neutral area for the cat who's in the separate room. And same for the cat who didn't go to the vet. Because when you allow the cat to investigate something on his own, if you set it up so the cat feels like it's all his idea, this works great on my husband too, by the way. And,
thank you.
Cats are so reactive to scent, and they so want to be in control, and they want predictability. They want to know what's going on. So with using the sock for the scent swapping, you're really giving that control back to the cat. And when you think about, you know, do no harm, you know, it does no harm to reintroduce two cats, but it can do irrevocable harm if you don't do it. And as Michael said, there are some cats who just never get back together again, because once cats get into that destructive cycle of fear and aggression, it's very hard to get them back out again. Now, usually it's a good matter of time and patience, right? But a lot of people don't want to be doing a reintroduction for the next year of their lives.
Well, think about how they live out in nature, right? I mean, they adopt a common scent in the clouder. So when an interloper comes in, or another cat, or, you know, even just any kind of predator, they smell that right away. So they're on high alert. So that saves their life. A lot of times cats are right in the middle of the food chain, both predator and prey. So they're set up for survival based on what they smell.
And when you think about it, the cat returns from the vet smelling like other cats, other dogs, other opponents, medicine, the vet, anyone who was in touch with that cat. Like, there's nothing familiar anymore on that cat. So that's very unsettling for the cat who's back at home.
Yes. And we err on the side of safety, right? I often give the analogy. I broke down on the road in the dead of winter in Ohio a couple years ago, and I call my husband. He's like, I'll be there, but it's going to be 30 minutes. This man suddenly appears at my window and says, ma'am, do you need help? And yes, I did. And he could have had that donut on and had me in the road. And we all know there's a 99% chance he was a really nice man who just wanted to help. But there's a small percent of chance that he's an escaped convict mass murderer. And therefore, I lied to that man and said, my husband's 1 minute behind me, but thank you very much. Petrified for my life. If I make the wrong assumption about this person and trust them, it could cost me my life. That's what your cats are going through.
Exactly.
I don't know if I can trust this being. And if I don't, it can cost me my life.
That's what happened with Michael's cat.
Yes. What a horrible mindset for these cats to be in, fearing like this with this interloper stranger that just came in.
Sure.
And it's completely preventable. That's the sad part about this whole thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Just some simple instructions from the veterinarian. But see, like I was saying before we started taping, they know medicine, right? They don't really know behavior unless you have a vet behaviorist. They don't really know behavior the way that we do, or the way that somebody who lives with cats do. A lot of vets don't live with cats. Some do, some don't. And there's not many vet specialists that specialize in just cats.
So besides that fear and the long-term estrangement, in part comes from just, you know, another thing that I've learned you can just see is just turf battles. I mean, they may get along, but they may have turf battles. And the one thing that we haven't mentioned in this is I, out of ignorance, broke up one of the cat fights. I was physically shaking 4 hours later. So you also have the risk of personal injury.
Yeah, and did you get bit? Did you get bit, Michael?
No, I did not get bit. I did not get hurt, but it was so traumatic. Fortunately, there was a jacket close enough by. After I picked up the one cat, I could cover him with a jacket and did not get hurt, and that diffused it all. But my wife said to me after one of the fights, I've never screamed louder in my life. And I said, even in childbirth. And she said, no.
It's petrifying. You have these beings that you love as if they were your furry children and you know them. And so many people have said to us, because we always say, you know, when you're bringing them out together, do not stick your hands in there, throw a blanket over them, toss them to the track, blah, blah, blah.
My cat will never bite me here. No, not on purpose.
Never. And yet we've talked to people with their arms wrapped up. Let's see what that one lady had, staples in her head.
Remember the lady in Iran? Remember the lady in Iran?
Yes, all wrapped up, IV antibiotics, the whole
And then so unsettling to a cat owner to watch your cat like suddenly turn into Cujo.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very scary. So then we're emitting all of our fear hormones. The cats don't recognize each other either by smell. They're emitting all their fear hormones. I mean, it really gets into this awful.
It's a cluster, right? It's a whirling dervish that never ends.
Yes.
So the consequences, there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen from the consequence of not giving this very simple instruction. And here's the thing. So many vets have gone to electronic scheduling. And you get an appointment reminder in your email. So it doesn't take much to just put at the bottom of the email, if you're going to be coming from a multi-cat family, you must read this before you come. And there are already resources out there, and I'm going to make more resources out there. I already have some. And I just want to tell everybody that there is a website where I've collected all this information. It's called felinenonrecognitionaggression.com. It's all one word. You can find it. It's got Buddha's story on it, and it's got a bunch of resources for the veterinarians. If you experience this feline non-recognition aggression and your vet didn't tell you about it, included on the website is a letter you can send to your own vet to educate them on it. And so, you know, if you want to read more about it, there are a bunch of articles. There's YouTube videos. So everything you really need to know. I also started a Facebook group called Before My Cat Goes to the Vet. And
I will join.
So it's just, I want to eventually over time get this word out and get the information in the hands of people because, okay, we had an extreme case. But why should anybody have a case, even if it's small? And when, especially when you don't know about it, the first time it is incredibly disconcerting. And even if you know about it as a human, every time it happens, it adds more stress to the cat, which
it's
means
true.
The cat that went to the vet isn't going to recover as quickly. And it means the other cats in the house have unneeded stress, you know, that they don't really need either. And so it's just so unsettling.
It's a vicious cycle. Before we get into more about this, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll be right back. This is a fascinating topic and it's all too common, very preventable. We'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
I'm very careful about the products that I choose because I have built a reputation over 4 decades where cat parents trust me and they know that when I recommend a brand or talk about a particular product, they know it came from my heart and I really believe it. I've done my research with Pet Greens. I love the products. I love the quality. And one of the things that I feel just stands out is the education that Pet Greens provides. They guide you every step of the way. It's a relationship. I know how much they love cats and how much they love cat welfare and cat health, and that's their motivation.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out comfortdiva.com. We have cat-tastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, ComfortDiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit ComfortDiva.com today because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. ComfortDiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting, talking with Michael Herbert and Rachel Geller, talking about, I don't know why I can't remember the name of that.
Feline non-recognition aggression. Yes. And I love what you just said, Michael, about, you know, what's happening with the cats, because yeah, let's look at their point of view. So, you know, the human's point of view. Yeah. My cats are now fighting. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to separate them. Maybe I'm going to have to call the behaviorist. You know, this is not cool. We've always had such peace and I'm so glad the cat's back. Now let's look at the cat that went to the vet. I often tell our clients, put yourself in your cat's fur. This cat has gone to the vet. It has been an upsetting thing. Might have had a speculum shoved up their hiney. They might have got stabbed with a needle. We don't know. They were dogs. It was bad. It was
horrible. Dogs barking, right? Yep.
And I come home and this living being that I have been bonded with for so long tries to kill me. It's like, you know, my husband, I've been married over 20 years. He's never done anything to hurt me. Probably because Rita said she'd fly here and kill him. But, that's not why. But, you know, if all of a sudden, after over 20 years, he smacked me upside the head, what does this do to my brain, to my heart, to my soul? And how long is it going to take? Even if I understand the circumstances behind it, and we're going to therapy and we're doing all the stuff, I'm going to be dodging and weaving every time.
Well, right. Next time he's near you and he moves, you're going to be like this, right? So what happens to the cat that's scared when the other cat starts approaching? He gets scared. The other cat gets like, ooh, this is prey. I must chase. Or maybe he's going to attack me. I have to get him before he gets me, right? We need to prevent all that and all that stress. Because like you said, some cats never go back to the status quo and the relationship never heals. But we need to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, we want to keep cats in their homes, you know, and this is such a preventable syndrome to have to go through. And when you think about it, you know, shelters are already overcrowded. There are too many cats and not enough space. And to be able to, you know, with Michael's mission, to be able to keep cats who already have a home in their homes and understand what they need to do is a really major big deal. Yeah.
And I have to say, Michael, this is something, like I said, at least once a week, somebody reaches out to us with this problem. People are in tears and they're hurting. And it kills me. People do not understand how rough it can be to be a behaviorist. Yes, Rachel, because
it's very emotional.
Sometimes I got to sit on the bed and just disconnect for a little bit. And family members will come in and I'm like, I just need to be alone to digest this and deal with this. It's awful. And
it's really bad.
I know what we tell people to prevent it from happening, right? What do we tell people, Linda?
So, number one, you know, first of all, think about how that scent might have changed. Was there an alcohol swab done? Was there surgery where the anesthesia is coming out of your mouth for quite a while?
It comes out of their pores, too.
So, yes. So give time, especially if there's been a procedure, for gosh sakes, let the cat relax. I know not everyone has 12 cats in their home like I do, or 19 like Rita, but sending them back out into Gen Pop, you know, can be really overwhelming. So give them time to chill. Some of those scents will come out. We've also discussed, you know, really brushing them really well, brushing them again to kind of redeposit their own scent, feeding them stinky cat food to even out the breath. But time, really, and it will save you so much in the end, right?
Well, Michael has Bengals, right? Bengals are really close to their wild roots, right? So those cats probably took it harder than our little tabby cats also.
Well, yeah. And one thing I like to do with the sock is to get everybody's scents going. So I'll rub the cat with, you know, the other cat's gland. I'll rub myself on there and really go back and forth. I'll take a t-shirt that I've worn all day, so it's kind of a little smelly and dirty. And then rub the cat who did not go to the vet with that. And again, put it in the safe room, the sanctuary room. But just, you know, you don't want to stick it into the cat's bed, right? You don't want it in the cat's napping spot. But you want it someplace in a neutral, benign area in the room. So
it's benign objects.
Yes, for them to check.
Linda likes to say want them to go nose blind to the other cats.
It's like the commercials, you've gone nose blind. We don't want to be, who is that cat? You know, it's been here. So what are you going to say, Michael?
I was going to say, Michael, tell us what's on your website too. What will we find?
Okay. So before I do that, let me just say, because this actually is on the website. Setting up what you guys all just said, I have distilled what I believe should be the simple message from the vet. And that is on the website under a page called Instructions for Veterinarians to Use in Office or from Patient Portals. And the four steps are, you know, really relate to what you guys just said. First, have a safe space for your cat's recovery. after she or he returns from the office here. Second, because your cat's scent has changed, postpone the cat reunion. Third, let the scent from the vet dissipate and the medicine wear off. Fourth, gradually reintroduce the cat following a protocol and judge for yourself how quickly you can proceed. Each cat's going to be different. And so we have we're in the process. We've created some, but we're also in the process of creating, because people don't often like to read or even watch videos anymore. We're doing a little infographic, you know, so we're trying to simplify some of these steps so that they at least get in their head, I can't just throw them back in Gen Pop. That's the first thing to make this work. So, you know, on the website, I'm trying to keep it to, a not overwhelming amount of information. So we have Buddha's story, which is important, because one thing I didn't say is this can get really costly. If this gets out of hand and you didn't know about it, it could cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And that's why one of the cats might end up going back to a shelter, because people don't have the money to deal with it, or they don't have the time.
No, they don't have the knowledge, Michael, too.
Yeah. So the second page is the call to action. Yeah. What I'm trying to get people to do, get themselves educated, get their vets educated. The third thing is a collection of the articles, solution ideas, and some YouTube videos that people have done on this topic. Then there's referrals for help for people like Rachel on there. There's instructions for the veterinarians, which includes the four steps plus the handouts that we have so far. And then there's a page for people listening to this podcast. If you've had one of these experiences and your vet didn't warn you about it or didn't instruct you about it, this is a letter to your vet, and you can make it as nice as you want or as aggressive as you want, depending on your experience.
You catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
true. I'm just going to say.
That's true. It's mostly the way it's written. It's informative, but it's just a draft, and you can, you know, use it as you see fit. So, you know, that's what's left.
I posted a social media video about this maybe 6 months ago after I got tired of everybody coming to us with this problem. And I was like, I got to tell people. A couple months later, I posted another one because it's like, this is not reaching enough. And we have gotten to where every session, if you come to us because your cat is pooping out of the box, before we hang up, I'm going to tell you, listen, before you take your cats to the vet, we do this with everyone. It doesn't have to be about that, because we're like, save yourself a return trip to us.
That's right.
We reintegrate.
Once you get them together, you don't want them to suddenly break apart because of this.
You know, what's interesting here is that there's actually a lot in this for the veterinarians. You know, dogs love to jump in a car and go on an adventure. Cats, not so much being stuffed in their little prison box and going to the vet. So if the cats go fear-free to the vet and return home fear-free, it's not as big of a deal. I think anybody who has had a feline non-recognition aggression experience, they're going to be less likely to take the cat to the vet. So if they don't have them, more cat visits to the vet, more business for the vets. There's a lot
of people say, oh, we just always take both cats. Oh, yeah, I can't take 19 cats.
I got 12. Like, if you hear, if you there. And I want it to be said that this is not just for the vet. This is anytime. Like, we've had clients tell us, oh, we always take Fluffy back to my parents to visit. Muffy doesn't like to travel.
Why do people do that? I hate
that. We're coming back with a different scent. Groomer. We had a client whose cat. Boarding. We had a client whose cat went outside, rolled in the grass, came right back in, and a fight started.
That was it.
I'm wondering if there was some like deer scat on the lawn or something. We were rolling in something, but that's how quickly that scent changed. That's how quick this can happen. You have to bathe one cat. You have to anything.
And it's interesting. The related thing from it too is redirected aggression. We live in Arizona. I looked out my bedroom window and there was a teenage bobcat on our porch, and Cortado, the one that was aggressive, the one that didn't go to the vet, was sitting on the bed chittering at him. So I threw Cortado in the closet.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Him to all of a sudden redirect his aggression back on Buddha again. So, yeah.
Exactly. Linda, talk about that one. Was the client in Maine?
Vermont. I knew exactly what you were. He had this lovely catio, and his cats were best friends for 10 years. And they were out on the catio, and all of a sudden, he heard that
blood-curdling
awful sound that raises your blood pressure instantly. And he said the two cats came in like a whirling dervish. Like you couldn't tell where one ended, but he said there was pee flying. There was poop flying. It was so bad. He looked out on the catio. There's a bobcat looking at him. What you doing? I said, I'd have slapped my sister and peed my pants too if I'd have seen a bobcat. I can relate to this. And then because they got upset and fought each other, cats, my favorite Rita Reimer's quote, everything a cat does is about survival for themselves and the species. And I've tried to debunk it. I cannot.
That's one of the only things we can say always is true.
No, it's so true. Cats do things to meet their needs. End of story. And cats will try to solve a problem as a cat. End of story. So,
It was an accident. I was scared of this cat, but now I've hurt my sibling. My sibling has hurt me. Now I don't trust them again, going back to like my husband cuffing me upside of the head. And even if we worked through it and we had another 20 years of marriage where he never harmed me again, you know that doesn't go away. So let's just avoid it.
Let's avoid it as much as possible, right? Now, you had to put your cats on Prozac, Michael, correct?
Yes, they are in Prozac. I mean, they are back together. They're on a very, very small dose of Prozac, but that's no fun. And, we were given the pill form, which sometimes can be very challenging to get the cats to.
Oh, sure. A cat that's already upset and acting like a mountain lion. Let's just shove a pill down his throat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're being generous with the, that can be difficult.
I don't understand with the alternatives
impossible.
Now, either compounding it or the transdermal kind, why the pills even still exist.
So we've heard from some, I tell you, for one thing, my opinion, and we were just talking about this with Steve Dale, cats have always been the redheaded stepchild of our pets.
It's
true. They're easygoing and they came to live with us and they lived in the barn and then we let them in. And so we didn't put the focus on them that we have on dogs. They're just now starting. There are a lot of great people that are really starting to invest in cats, but I think that's part of it. I think this is what you give. This is the dose, period. We did have one vet say they don't usually carry the transdermal and it can be more expensive, but some of them actually are cheaper on Chewy.
Well, even if it is more expensive, you give your client the choice, right?
Give me the choice.
Right. And even if it is more expensive, I bet in real life it's not, because you waste so many pills trying to pill the cat on your own. So in the long run, it might end up being a bargain.
Exactly.
My book, Sadie's Heart. It's mostly about how I needed to give her medicine and I had to beg and scream and advocate to get the transdermal gel. You've got to advocate for your cats.
She's got a cat with a heart condition and she's told don't upset her. But hey, shove this pill down her gullet a couple times a day, right? And the cat was running from her.
Not at all.
Not working to keep this cat calm, people. Yes, exactly.
That won't be stressful at all. Yeah. You know, some of these compounders where they compound it into a tasty treat. I mean, have you ever looked at the menus of these treats? It's like chicken and shrimp, fricassee and
Sadie,
turkey.
Really
good flavors.
This is how I've thought of it. If you went to the doctor and because the doctor didn't give you a simple instruction and you ended up on Prozac for 9 months, you think you'd be a little upset?
Well, I think there might be a lawsuit involved there. Yeah.
Right. Yes. I would go after my doctor and say, you did not give me proper discharge instructions. You're absolutely right. And I want to be clear. We love our vets. Our vets are overworked.
Oh, yeah.
There are amazing million amazing vets out there. There are a few not so amazing ones, but that happens with everything, right? You can't, can't have any grouping of people without a few rotten ones.
That's right. 50% of all veterinarians graduate at the bottom of their class.
That's a good way to think about it, Dr.
That's
Rachel. I never really thought about it like that, but that's alarming.
And if, as many of them are, they are more dog people who have learned about how to take care of cats, they're not thinking about the nightmare of giving a pill to a cat.
Scared of my cat, who was very mild, meek, sweet cat. Anytime she'd open her mouth, he'd be like, oh, oh, right. He's not my vet anymore. No.
So there's already some really positive things happening with this, because when all of our chaos occurred in December, and I mean, it was literal chaos.
Then you're tearing your own hair out and you're crying, thinking, do I have to give up one of my cats, right, Michael?
Yeah, we went through that, and we adore these cats, and it's just my wife and I, and you know, they're way easier than the kids, even with this.
Yeah, they're my kids too.
Amen.
But we were referred to this woman at anticruelty.org out of Chicago, and they have already made changes based on Buddha and Cortado's case to both in the way their vets are going to give instructions and in their adoption papers. They're going to change their adoption papers. And this situation did not happen with our normal vet. It happened. They were not available. It was a Friday. And we took them to this. We took Buddha to this other vet. And so, but our normal vet, who's a cat only vet, they only see cats.
Yay.
They still, though, even though they only see cats, they weren't giving sufficient instructions in their own mind. And, you know, they've been great and they were really supportive of us. They are now changing and adopting changes too. So it might, you know, I hope it doesn't take one vet at a time. I'd like to get the big pet retailers to do stories on it. And I'm working on the Humane Society to do articles on it for education. And, you know, if we can get both people educated and vets educated, maybe this problem goes away and there's much happier households, much calmer households.
We can only hope. Shouldn't this be?
That's why I suggested you guys, Cat Behavior Alliance. That was my first thought when Michael came to me, is that you guys have such a wide reach. You reach a lot of people. You have it in
social media,
podcast form, the YouTube form. Yeah, you guys are really out there. And so I thought, I need to make this introduction. Yeah.
You'll be including our website and our write-ups now. But don't you think this should be also part of the fear-free education? To be fear-free certified, really you should know how to give proper instruction for a multi-cat household.
You know, so fear-free actually had materials available when Buddha went to the vet on November 30th. Now, this vet we went to isn't fear-free, and it's, you know, it's a dog and cat facility. But even the fear-free vets, I've learned, aren't necessarily aware that this handout is there and that they should be giving the instruction. So we need to go back to fear-free as well. And, you know, again, in my wish list of things for the coming holidays would be that fear-free would listen to us and send something out to the fear-free certified people saying, we have materials. If you're not linking them, please do. Is it really essential? They actually have materials for both before you take the cat to the vet and when you take the cat
home.
So like before you go to the vet, you could spray it with Fellaway. If it's really bad, you can maybe give them gabapentin, you know,
temporary stuff,
or some other such, you know, type of relaxing.
Yeah. I have to thank you. I'll tell you, Michael, I'm impressed, because how many people like, oh, I'm just one person. And, you know, and that's why I kept doing internet searches to figure out what organization you're with, what your education is, to find it. I'm like, he's nowhere. I've never come into a podcast and gone, all right, what's your deal? You are a human being who experienced a problem and set out to change it for everybody else. And
that's awesome.
So exciting, and speaks of the power of one, right?
Definitely. Yes, this is a big problem. And, you know, I was surprised. Well, I was sort of surprised, but sort of not, to hear Dr. Rachel also gets at least one a week like this. It's a very common thing to happen and totally preventable.
At least.
Any last words of wisdom? I hate that we have to wrap up shortly, but
I know.
Both Michael and Dr. Rachel, I'd love to give you both the last words before we...
So I guess I'm going to say this. I'm going to go in front of the Arizona Veterinarian Board and try and get them to tell vets that they need to make this instruction. So if anyone listening to this wants to help with that, we'll try and include an address, and feel free to write a letter with your story and just make the point that vets really need to be giving this instruction, because the purpose of the board is to protect the public. So if they want to act in the public's interest, they can hear from the public. It's perfectly fine. So I have a feeling this will be going on until, I'm going to guess into November of 2024. So if you're listening before then and you want to contribute, we'll put that out there. Hopefully we can put that out there with the...
Say your website address again.
The website address is feline non-recognition aggression, all one word, no hyphens. And I'll send that to you. You can
we'll be adding that to our website as well. Dr. Rachel, any last words of wisdom for us?
I'm just very excited that, you know, somebody came forward and is advancing this mission, this cause, because it really is a big problem. And, you know, I think a lot of times it's a grassroots effort that does enact change. So, and within that grassroots, we might need to be a little bit like a weed.
Thank you
but
for
we should
having
all push it forward.
This is such a big
topic.
Thank you for coming.
Like I said, this is one of those things that eats it, right, Rita and I, every time we get another person, it's like,
true.
How do we stop this?
Very common. Lynn, any last thoughts you want to add?
Yeah.
I think I said it all.
I think you did. I just want to thank everybody for being part of this. Let's hope we're starting a big movement here because this is necessary. It's something that's preventable, and we need to stop cats from ending up in shelters just from lack of information for something that's so easily preventable. Thank you all for being here. I hope you both come back, especially as things move forward and you start making a bigger dent. We definitely want to hear some follow-up on your progress. I have to, of course, thank Mark Winter for giving us this opportunity on Pet Life Radio so we can bring topics like this out to everyone. And of course, don't forget, it's not just Saturday. Every single day is Catterday. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.